the congregation. In the past week, though we do not see each other, but I hope that you be blessed with good health. When we hear some good news from coronavirus, we are very encouraged. And also, we heard some bad news, then we became disappointed. We heard of many turning to Christ from this pandemic. We are very happy about that, but we heard also the cases continue to increase, and we feel sad about that. We may hear if maybe a cure for the coronavirus, we feel encouraged also, but then we know that there are many symptoms that can cause to contract it, and then we can feel discouraged again. Hopefully today we will forget all those bad news or the good news from the regular life, but we will find true joy in the Word of God. Hopefully we can all sing with saying that, "Oh my dear Lord, I desire nothing but you. I only hope to praise you with my life. Jesus has carried my shame for me to bring me from my sinful desire. I love you, Lord. My life is committed into your hand. May my life to give into your hand." Let's all sing together the same hymn together, "That I belong to you." God has bought me with a price. Christ has died in my place. You are my God. I love you all my life. You have bought me with your price. I commit my life into your hand. Oh dear Lord, I desire nothing but you. My life only wish to praise you. Jesus has carried my shame to bring me away from my sinful desire. Oh dear Lord, I love you. My life is committed into your hand. You have paid for me with a price. You have died in my place. You are my God. I love you all my life. You have paid me with a price. Pay for me with a price. My life I commit into your hand. Oh dear Lord, I desire no one but you. All my life, I want to praise your name. Jesus, you carry my shame and bring me out of my sinful desire. I love you, Lord. I commit my life into your hand, Lord. Oh dear Lord, I only desire you. I want to praise you all my life. You have carried my shame and bring me out of my sinful desire. Oh dear Lord, I love you, Lord. I commit my life into your hand. The scripture today is 2 Corinthians, verse 20 and 22, chapter 1. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. The key verse of today's message is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17, part A. Each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. Let's all read together this key verse in 1 Corinthians. Each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. Our message today is the title, In God's Hand, based on 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17a. Each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. That's an illustration. It's about a rich person who has a life based on predetermination or predestination. He's not very rich, but he does have servants living with him in his house. He only pays attention to his worldly life and forget his spiritual life. He has a servant who is a Christian, and the servant normally recommended, you should pay attention to your spiritual life. Do not pay attention to your worldly life like this. And the master said, oh, don't worry. If God has planned for my salvation, then it doesn't matter what I do. I can still have salvation. But if God condemned me to damnation, then that's nothing I can do. Even if repentance, I can still have to be eternally damned because of predestination. The servant could not say anything. One day the master fell ill and asked the servant to go out and get a doctor home. But the servant said, refused to do that. And the master got angry and said, I have asked you to go out and invite a doctor to come and examine me. And the servant said, oh, dear master, I think that if God has planned for you to be well, then we do not need to invite the doctor here. But if God planned for you to face death, even the doctor is here, he could not save you. And the master got even angrier and said, why are you so stupid? God can many different miracles, but in this time, He gave us wisdom to know that the doctor can heal the sickness. Then we can follow our wisdom and to use what God provided and not sit here and wait for a miracle. And the servant said, apologize. So, let me go get a doctor. But before he left, he turned around and said, oh, dear master, if God has given us this condition to pay attention to our spiritual life, and that we do not do, and maybe when we can wait for a miracle to happen, right? And at that time, the master realized he recognized his wrong, and then he returned and find and seek after God. And the title of our message is In God's Hand. There are a few points I want to share with you today. In His hand, we can experience His faithfulness. In His hand, we experience that God has established us. In His hand, we experience that He anointed us. And in His hand, we experience that He has guaranteed for us. Let's all pray. Dear our family, Father, there's nothing more blessing than when we are in your hand. When we think about this morning about your word, may our heart be still and listen to the word so we can know the blessing that you have given us when we are in your hand. Please help us to recognize when we're in different positions that you have given us, we can respond to your calling to become your children. May you bless us this time so the word, the living word, can lead us into truth. May you bless myself as I deliver the message and bless each one of us into your hand, and your love can enter into our heart and soul. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first point is, we experience God's faithfulness. In verse 20, Paul said, "For no matter how many promises God made, they are yes in Christ, and because of Him, praising God." In your life and mine, there are many times we fail to keep our promises. Many times, important promises that we made, and we still fail to deliver. And Paul told us that with God, it doesn't matter how many promises God has made, God has all delivered. He would fulfill His promises because that's His attribute, faithfulness. In the faithfulness, God could not fail to keep the promise. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 said, "If we are faithless, God still remains faithful, for God cannot disown Himself." God is faithfulness. He could not lie to us, so that He will always keep His promises to us. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 15, when Solomon dedicated the temple that he built for God, and he prayed like this, "With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it, as it is today." There's a professor in Poland who is a Christian. When Poland fell into socialist government, nobody believed in God anymore. And he encourages students to know that God exists and put faith in God. All his colleagues is against him, did not agree the way that he taught his children. And they told this up to the inspector of education. One day, this inspector of education came to visit his class. The inspector told the children, say, "Look at this. Can you see a chalk in my hand?" And the students say, "Yes, we can see that. Do you see the blackboard behind me?" The students say, "Yes, we see." Then inspector said, "Can you see this professor standing in front of you?" And the student, "Yes." "And do you see who God is?" And the student said, "No, we do not see God." So the inspector concluded, "Whatever you see, those exist. And anything you cannot see, they don't exist. So whatever they tell you, that's a lie." And before the departure of the inspector, the professor said, "Oh, inspector, can I have a few words with the student while you are here?" And the inspector nodded and remained there. The professor told his student, took a chalk and said, "Can you see the chalk in my hand?" The student said, "Yes." "And do you see the blackboard behind me?" And the student said, all said, "Yes." "And did you see this inspector here in front of you today? Visited us today?" All the students said, "Yes, I do." "And do you see the wisdom of this inspector?" And the children say, "No, we do not see that." That, dear congregation, that illustration shows that sometimes when we don't see them, but they do exist, that doesn't mean that if we don't see something, it doesn't exist. But when we talk about God's faithfulness, maybe you and I could not see that faithfulness in God, but you can recognize those promises in the Bible is true because God keeps all His promises. In these days of pandemic, there are many people who felt the presence of God in their heart. I have relatives, and some people I know has contracted this coronavirus in the past week. I have prayed for them. I am saddened to pray for them. And we have to rely on God's mercy for deliverance. And when the people has find God, they will bless. They were in a panic. They got peace in their heart. Those who are in a coma, they could not move. They could not feel anything. And yet, they woke up. They could talk. They can talk to their relative. They can eat something. And so many less fortunate than others and facing death because of this coronavirus. And these are the children of God. When facing death and they come into the face to face with death, they still feel peace because they know that beyond death, they will know where they will go. All these things let us know that our faithfulness in God, He promised that I give you peace, not just like the world. Do not be afraid, Jesus said. And in this particular situation, some people who come to God has recognized this peacefulness in Him. When somebody is facing death, has been being prayed for relatives in the church to them, and they recover from a coma, and they experience God's presence because Christ's suffering on the cross, they have been saved. Because of Him, we say amen to praise God. This is true Christ. Today, a few of the children can put faith in God, but not based on the promises written in the Bible. And the givers, doesn't matter how many promises God made, God all delivered. If we put faith not in what God's promised, we could not experience those things. But if we base our faith on those promises that God has done in the Bible, then we can experience that. Though that promise may be to a person or not, to this life or to the eternal life, we can experience that promise. We will not be ashamed when we trust in God. You and I, when we commit sin, but if we repent of our sin, He is faithful and righteous to forgive our sin. That is the promise. So that when we do wrongs in our life, we come to God, repent of our sin. He is faithful and righteous and forgive our sin and cleanse us of our uncleanliness. God promised to change our life. Who is in Christ and that person has been created anew. The old things pass away, everything became new. So when we come into the relationship with Christ, that person can experience a new life. He has been changed through Christ. And that person can experience eternal life. Who believes in the Son of God will have eternal life. Who does not believe in the Son of God will have eternal life. And even this time, we can feel the eternal life imparted to us by God. Eternal life doesn't mean that we will breathe forever, but at certain time we will die. Eternal life means God's life into our soul. Just like when God created Adam, He breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. Whoever in Christ, that person can receive eternal life. He become a new creature in God. God has many promises for each one of us. But to experience those promises, do we believe in God's faithfulness? The giver said that each one must live according to God's situation to be called according to God's calling. And we trust in His faithfulness when we are in God's hand. The second point we want to study together is that when we are in God's hand, we can experience to a last shift. Verse 21, now it is God who makes us both, you and I, stand firm in Christ. To make us, that means to make something is to bring about something that has not existed before. If we want to organize a medical organization or a Bible class or a church, so at that particular time, that thing does not exist. And now they want to establish something there. Now, in the spring, we have not a bypass that rise above the city. But at some point, if the government want to establish that bypass from east to west or north to south, then we will have that bypass to be constructed according to our needs. And this has not been done before, for example. Here Paul said, He has made us and you both stand firm in Christ. Paul is a Jew. He has been called to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And with the Jews, whoever they have a boasting, I am a Jew. And when he is a Jew, then God can experience God's salvation. But if a Gentile, then that person will be lost forever. Paul has been grown in this particular stereotype, and now he can go out to the Gentiles and preach the gospel. How can he destroy his stereotype thinking, and how can he destroy the sinfulness of the Gentiles to become saved in Christ? And Paul said that to accomplish this mission that has been called by God, God has established in us and you to stand firm in Christ. What does he establish? He established Paul to have a relationship with the children of God at that time. I have come to U.S. 25 years now, but my emotion with those people who were in Vietnam are still in my heart. Those emotions still are with me today. I remember each face, and those who I have give comfort and pray for those people at this time. In first few days here, they are in the past, were in my church, and today, some of those people who were with us in the early day, no longer here, people back then were eager to learn, but now I do not see them in our Bible study group anymore. They have shared their, they asked us to encourage them, but now so many difficulties in their life, I don't see them with us anymore. Though those person may be far away from us in spirit, but they are close to me. And so many nights, I woke up, I remember somebody in our church. Before, he or she has worshipped with us. Now, they no longer with us. And I feel uncomfortable. There is pain in my heart. Not at peace. So I had to wake up and pray for that person. Where are they now, God? Where is that person, God? God has established that relationship between myself and the children of God. So we can pray for them. So we can have share their, because many has gone away from the Lord, my heart feel for them. Hopefully one day, through this pandemic, they can be reminded by God to return to the Lord, to return to the worship with us. I have a friend. One day, this lady called me, said, in the old time, back in Vietnam, you and I studied together in accounting class. In 78, I have participated in that accounting class. And I was voted as a chief accountant. And you are the president of the class. I'm just a student, the lady said. We didn't talk much back then. But afterward, I heard that you came to U.S. and I was at in the church in Dallas. I know your sister. I came to the church, and in a particular situation, she was also came to church. And in a opportunity, I saw her, and I saw your name, and I asked the email, and that she has my contact, so she called me up. And she told me that her she recounted her experience with me about her marriage life is not as perfect. And she believed in God and she wanted to go, but her husband and the two has a problem of understanding English versus Vietnamese. When she goes to American church, she does not understand it. And when her husband attends the Vietnamese, he doesn't understand it. So there's a, and I recommended her to remember how to ask God to be among them so they can worship God together. And at a conference, I happened to just see her there. And they, her husband and her came to her. And afterward, she continued to email me. I encouraged to continue to encourage her to have a sacrifice. Maybe she doesn't come to Vietnamese church, but she can help her husband. When her husband attended her, it could be limited in understanding at first, but God can change the relationship between her and her husband so that they can be closer together in marriage, so they can worship together. And I thank God she shared of on her relationship, marriage life. And she has gone to Vietnam to preach the gospel there. And her husband followed her and supported her. And he participated with all the activities that she was working when she was in Vietnam. And they are very close together. I think in the recent years, I have not talked to her a lot now, so I don't know where she is. But at least I can thank God that God can use in a particular situation to help, that He's been called me to help our brother and sister in Christ, to encourage them, to make them closer together in marriage. And there is another younger person, and her age is much younger than my children. And one day, in a particular situation, I got a text from this particular friend. You don't know me, but I know you, because when you were in Vietnam, I was very young. And she shared her life with me. There are so many shameful, even in her, the violence in her own family. And she was not treated well from her father, so she was feel ashamed. So she ran away from home. And in a situation, she got married, and she got into admitted to U.S. When the first few days in U.S., the relatives had contacted her, and her family knew where she was, and they want her to be away, back to Vietnam. She was afraid because her father has treated her like this. And now both have moved away to a different state, and she does not want to contact her relatives again. But she found me, and she contacted me, but because I'm the only one she can share her emotional feeling. She asked me to introduce her to some church, and I said, in your state there is a church, but the distance is far away, maybe driving an hour and a half or 2 hours. She could not drive, so she could not know. And the only thing that she can hear the word of God is through our church website. And every week I posted the message online, and that helped her spiritually. And in a particular difficulty, when she went to doctor, and she got poison ivy all over her, and her body was ravaged by all these open sores because of the ivy. And this particular poison can come from the plant. And she remembered that back in her house, there's a forest, pine forest, and those have a lot of ivies up the trunk. And because of her sadness and loneliness, she went out there to have quiet time. But she didn't realize that the poison ivy has entered her body and has caused her to feel pain with all the open sore of her body. And recently she called me. I have sponsored a son to come. Could you pray for my son to come? I pray with her, and I have to remember to pray for her every day. Until the end of last year, I'm so happy because my son has passed the interview, and now he's preparing to leave Vietnam. But in last month, she called me again and said, "Oh, it is sad to tell you that my son, when he came to the interview, they discovered that he has something in his lung. So he has to remain there to heal his lung disease before he can come to U.S. I comforted her and said, maybe this is God's plan for your son. And because this time is not a good time for your son to come because of this pandemic, while the coronavirus is ravaging the country. When he contact with other person, maybe coronavirus is not good for him. And be happy for what God has planned for your son, and someday God will bring your son to reunite with you. And when I talk to her, oh dear pastor, you are the only one that I can share my feeling with you. I feel comforted by you. Dear congregation, God has put us in a particular situation to serve Him. He has called each of us to be in the position to serve Him. Though I may be here as a pastor, but I thank God because I have people around the U.S., even internationally, has God established a relationship between me and other person so that they could not talk to their own relative. They could not share their burden with their relative, but they can share with me, and I can comfort them with the Word of God. We have to live according to what has called us to do, so we can experience the relationship that He has given us. Paul said that He has established you and I to be firm in Christ. That relationship in Christ, we can be firm in Christ when we are in God's hand. We can put faith in His establishment for that relationship. The third point we want to share is that in His hand we experience being anointed or chosen. In the old days, the anointing is for the king who become a crown, or the knight to become a knight in the court. They can be anointed, the prophets, when God chose them to serve the Lord. Jesus, when he was called the Messiah, or the Anointed One. The Messiah is the used by the Jew. Christ is a Greek name for anointed. Why is Christ called anointed? Because God has chosen Jesus to be in a position, chosen to carry out a mission. In Psalm verse 2, verse 8 to 9, God has a plan for Jesus. I gave you the nations, and all the earth will be your inheritance. You will reign over them. You crush them like the potter's. All the nations, all the kings of the world must worship. This is the program that God has sent Jesus for us, that all the kings be wise to recognize this is the Christ, the King of Kings, to recommend, to receive the commandment from God, because Christ has been chosen. But also the Psalm, also in verse 1-2, why do the nation conspire and the peoples plot in vain against this chosen one? The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against His anointed, or the one who has been chosen by God. And also in verse 4, the one enthroned in heaven laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. And those, the Gentiles who are conspired against Him, all the enthroned, all the kings of the earth are rising up against the Lord, yeah, because they could not change what God has planned. They can rise up to do this and that, but they could not change God's plan for the whole earth. We can be saved only through Christ. In the Old Testament, He used Aaron to be His priest. He had to anoint Aaron. When the Israel asked for a king. God chose Saul to become king. When Saul committed sin, he used another king to replace Saul, and Samuel has anointed David to become king. Our God, when He used a particular person, He has to anoint that person. The anointing is in the word is that this word chose some person who has been accepted by many. When an anointing from God, He chose a person, that person is have not been accepted by God. When Paul talked to us, he has been anointed. Paul does not boast about this anointment, but he just wants to tell his believer of the church that when we've been chosen by God, that's very important, because that is an important position for the believers that he has put there to serve him. There is a Norwegian named Roald Amundsen. He has a dream to explore the South Pole. He established an expedition team with the name South Pole Expedition. And there is another person named Robert Falcon Scott. He also will explore the South Pole, just like Roald. He established a team with the name Terra Nova. And Scott has challenged Amundsen that who will go to the South Pole first. Then Amundsen accepted that challenge. And he studied about the South Pole. He studied about the Eskimo living there. How do they live there? How do they conduct their activities? And he saw that the Eskimo there, they use the dog sled to move around. And he bought the sled and the dog just like the Eskimos to equip for his expedition team. He prepared a lot of food for the team. And Mr. Amundsen left Norway in October 18, and he arrived in there. He worked for 6 hours, and after 6 hours of work, he rested his team, and so also rest his dogs that pulling the sled, and everybody had dinner together to regain the strength to continue the journey in the next day. And Robert Scott, the English, if we use a motorized sled, that could be faster than the dog sled way. And so he prepared. He left England in 1st November 1911, about 12 days after the Norwegian death. And things didn't happen. When the motorized sled was so heavy, it broke the ice and fell into the water. And all the expedition team has to try to dig that motorized sled from the ice. And Amundsen, the Norwegian team, has arrived in the South Pole at 3 p.m. on 14 December 1911. They put a Norwegian flag at the South Pole to prove that they had been there first. But the English team by Robertson, they came there on 17 January 1912. And this story told us that Amundsen recognized that what he has to do before he set foot there. They not only have a dream to be there, but Amundsen has a good plan for himself, and everybody must accept this plan before he set out. And he won not because they have to win because of the race. He won because they have a beautiful plan. when God has chosen you and me into the church, He has a plan for us. God has anointed all the apostles. He can anoint today us and everyone because He has a plan for each one of us, an everlasting plan. When He is saved, He just not given an organization for the activities so that every Sunday we can worship, but also His plan is to bring each one of us into His eternal kingdom. So live according to what God has given and called us to be a servant. When we've been anointed by God, that's when we are in God's hand. The fourth point I want to share with you is that in God's hand, we experience the guarantee. Verse 22, set His seal of ownership on us and put His Spirit in our heart as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. When a king sends a message to someone, he has to put a seal on the message, and only the receiver of the message can break that seal to open that message. That seal represents the authority. And Paul said, God has put a seal on us. He wants to express that God has an authority over our life. In the old days, when God has established Israel, the nation, He has a seal on that people. The Israel is inheritance of God. And because God has put His seal on the nation of Israel, though the Israel may be scattered, the whole world tried to destroy them, and they can wipe them off the map, but they can kill them. But God has also restored the nation of Israel. They are a country now. They continue to exist until Christ returns, because Israel is been put a seal by God on that nation. When God established His church, He has put a seal on the church so that all the gates of hell could not overcome His church. There is organization on this earth has been persecuted as much as the church of Christ. There's no organization has been hated so much like the church, and nobody destroyed the church as much. But this is His body. The church is His body. So God has put a seal so that Satan can have the scheme to destroy the church, but the church will survive until the return of Christ. When God gave us the scripture, He put the seal and His name, because this is a word of God, sharper than the two-edged sword to divide the soul into that can recommend us to live according to this word, to change our life for the better. Because it's a living word of God, so God has put a seal in His word, in the Bible, in the scripture. There is no other book in this world that could be hated so much as the Bible. But the more they try to destroy the Word of God, the more it can withstand the test of time. There's no other book on this world, in this world, that can be translated into so many languages so other nations can understand it. And there is no other book on this world could be printed as many copies as the Bible because of the seal of God in His Word. When God anointed us and chosen us, and He put a seal on us. Why? God has to put a seal in each of our lives, because each of our lives has a soul, and that soul is that's the life that God has given us. You and I, if we buy a candy, nobody can guarantee that that particular candy is real or not. But if we buy a little ounce of gold, and that seller has to identify and verify that this gold has a particular quality and it's where it came from. Why do they have to have that verification? Because that is very valuable possession to someone. When Paul said, God put his seal on us and give us the Spirit, he guaranteed for his children, because God causes children to become valuable for God. Nobody is valuable before God, but God has called us to be valuable through Christ Jesus. And Jesus, when he was still on earth, he said, I give life abundant. They will not be lost, and they cannot be detached from my hand. When anyone is given to Christ, he can experience life in Christ. He will not perish, and nobody can snatch them away from Christ's hand. Christ had prayed in Gethsemane that I have not lost one of those you gave me, except one who has been lost forever. That's Judas. Only the chosen people of God can be put. Then that person is guaranteed to have eternal. If we agree to step with the Lord each day, that Jesus will not lose us, because the Father has given us to Christ. In this particular situation today, may not be what we imagine, but we have to recognize that God's love help us to put faith in Him, and that's guaranteed that even the situation is not fortunate, we can still have faith in God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, there is nothing or the angel, this present, nor the future, nor any power, not the height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that God has given us through Christ. So we can live according to God's plan, according to God's calling for us. The Les Miserables by Victor Hugo is a great story talking about a French battle at Waterloo. That is a battle that decides the fate of Napoleon. Victor Hugo has detailed the story of this battle, from the geometry to the weather to the number of soldiers to the weapons to his ally of the Napoleon with the ally from Germany and England. But after all these details, Napoleon got defeated at Waterloo. And Victor Hugo concluded with the story with a big if. He said, if Napoleon does not put too much trust in a Belgium to make his army destroy through a valley at Waterloo, and if the reserve military personnel can come in time to help the main military before the English help out with the German, then perhaps Napoleon can win that war, that battle at Waterloo. This is if has not changed history. Napoleon has failed. at Waterloo. I want to tell this, say that this big if will not change your life or my life. We put our faith in God today, and actually, we can experience our life in God's hand. If we could not experience that, God, we could not experience the relationship that we have with others and with God. If we could not experience that we have been anointed, that been chosen by God, and if we could not experience the guarantee that God has given for us by His Holy Spirit, then I'm afraid that at some day, the day that we will leave this life, we would regret saying, if back then I listened to the advisor of others to worship God, if I was then given my life to Christ back then, maybe I would be better. That big if would not change, and it's too late. I hope that you will be blessed with this message. We can experience that we are in God's hand. Let's all pray. Dear our loving God, we thank you when our life is in your hand. There's no other blessing when we know that we are, our life is in your hand. May you have mercy on us. Help us. Show us so that we can understand how your faithfulness can be our strength. Because we've been accepted to us through Christ. Please remind us so we can experience the relationship that has been united with all the believers. Because if not by the Spirit, we would not have this kind of love for each other. So without the Spirit of God, we could not love God, our love God. Please help us to see that we have been anointed and chosen by God to be in a position, a servant in Christ. We know you have a wonderful plan for us, each one of us. We ask you to be reminded that we can be experience the guarantee that you have sealed that with your Holy Spirit. So no one of us will be lost that you have saved us. May none of us will be lost of our salvation that you have called us into the children of God. May you hear our prayer. May you be with us and lead us in the rest of our life. We thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. May this message to bless you, to keep our faith in Him in the days of this pandemic. Next week is the first of the month. We will have opportunity to have communion. I want you to prepare for yourself and your family. Some bread to represent the body of Christ. And a small cup to represent the blood of Christ. And May 3rd, we will, after the message, we will also participate in communion. May God bless you. Thank you, congregation.